Good. Now, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis. Ganav al pishnayim v'tavach u'machar al piyam. If a Reuven stole my sheep and two witnesses saw him do it, and they also saw him then go and shecht it or sell it. Oh, or even if al pishnayim acherim, even if you have two pairs of witnesses, pair number one said, we saw Reuven steal a sheep, and pair number two said, we saw Reuven shecht the sheep. In both those cases, Mishan Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, Reuven the thief pays 4 or 5. Fine. Ganavu Machar B'Shabbos. If Reuven stole it, and then any day of the week really, but he was Mocher it on Shabbos, he sold it to somebody else on Shabbos, so that is breaking Shabbos, of course, but selling on Shabbos is just a derabbanan, lest a person come to write things down, so there's no Chiev. Normally, Shabbos has a chiyuv skila, death penalty, and you have kimla derabbanei. But no kimla derabbanei applies if you sell it on Shabbos, because that's not a capital crime. So the person, the ganav who sells it on Shabbos, will still have to pay 4 or 5. As opposed to if he's toveach it, if he shechts it on Shabbos, that's the melach of shochet, that's an isra doraisa, chayav misa, and therefore he'll be pater from all the payments. Similarly, ganav amachar la'avodah zara. If a guy stole my cow and he then sold it to some idolatrous temple there in India who wants a holy cow, so then he will be on the hook because selling cows to Ovdei Avodah Zarah is not a capital crime. However, if he would have shechted it to the Avodah Zarah, so then that would be a capital crime because that's Avodah Zarah proper, has death penalty, and he would be putter from the theft, the 4 or 5 payments, because he'd pay for the four or five payments because the shechita was in his doraisa. The kef would pay still, by the way. Right? The theft he has to pay for because he stole. It's two separate events. Ganav tavach u'machar b'yom kippurim. If it all happens on Yom Kippur, so then shechting or selling on Yom Kippur is not a capital crime. Even shechita, which is iser doraisa on Yom Kippur, is only chiyuv karis. If you remember back from Maseches Megillah, only compared to Tzamisa, it's a Mekaris, it's less. So since it's less, there's no Kimud Rabbine, and you do not get off the hook, you have to pay the capital, pay the amount. So in this case, if the thief stole it and then shechted it or sold it on Yom Kippur, even if he shechted it, he still has to pay, because there's no death penalty for shechting on Yom Kippur.
I guess it's less, because you know, if they have tshuva.
You can get, a second chance, that's right. For sure you can do tshuva. Right. Now, Ganav Mishal Aviv, if the thief is a bad boy and he steals it from his own father, that's pretty sick. But Tavach u'machar, and he shechts it or he sells it. V'achakach meis Aviv, and his father hears the news and he has a heart attack and dies. So, the story is that since when the kid shechted or sold it, it was the father's. So, like anybody else, he'll be chayev, no difference. But, as opposed to, if he stole it from his father, and then his father died, and then he went and sold or shechted the cow after his father died. Because if that's the case, him being a son is an heir, he owns part of the cow. And if you sell or shecht a cow that's partially yours, you're not looking for 4 or 5, it's a drasha base that says v'tavcho or macharo with an extra vav at the end of each of those two words, with darshan has to be dafli totally yours. Or totally not yours, I should say. Totally not yours when you shecht it, or when you sell it. But if it's partially yours, then you would not have to pay. So here the case is, since his father died after the fact, when he sold it, it was his. V'ganav tavach v'achar kach hikdish. If he stole it, and then he shecht it or sold it, and after that he was makdish it, which is a bit silly because he can't, but anyways, if he tries to makdish it, then mshalom tashlumi arba chamisha, doesn't matter, he pays 4 or 5. Now that is as opposed to if he would have stole it, and then been makdish it, and then shechted it. Because if he effectively is makdish this animal, when he shechts it, it's not longer the victim's, the original theft victim, it's the base of mikdishes. And the pasuk says that you're mshalom to re'ehu, to your friend, to your I don't know what the word is in English. Your friend, your neighbor. And the point is, the basic English is not re'ehu, so therefore you wouldn't pay. The question, by the way, is a side point, is how can a person go and be makdish his friend's cow? The answer is you can't, except when you steal something, it will become yours if you both have a shinui, if you both have Yeush, which is like the victim gives up hope of getting his object back, plus a Shinui Rishus, which means a change of ownership. This is a Shinui Rishus because you're transferring it to the base of Mikdash. So that would be effective. In other words, just speaking out. If I just say, that's a nice thermos, I'm giving it to the base of Mikdash, it's your thermos, that's a silly thing to say, it's not effective. But if you had already given up hope, you lost it, and given hope of finding it back, then I could be Makdish it, and it would be effective. I'm a bad, bad guy, but it would be effective. And if I did that first, then when I shecht your cow, so it's not your cow, it's the base of Mikdash's cow, then I would be Pater. But if it's your cow, before I shechted it, then I would be Chayav, 4 or 5. Because you're Rehu, you're my friend.
So in the first example, we had with the, you stole from your father, you slaughtered it, you sold it, and then the father died. The money you'd be paying, you'd be an inheritor of that.
That's right, you would. You indeed would. Good for, excuse me. Let's say you're paying a 4-time payment of sheep, for sheep, and let's say it's you and 2 other brothers, total of 3 of you. So right, you'd put 4 into the estate, and then they'd divvy it up. The Bechor would get 2, and each of the other brothers would get 1 each, for a total of 4. And if you have to do the Bechor, you'll be getting 2 back in your pocket. That's how it's going to work, yeah. Yep. Now, the rule is that the Tavicha, the Shechita, has to be done as a proper halachic Shechita. Which means, if he was Ganavit, he stole it, and he was Tavach, he then shechted the cow or the sheep, and he did a kosher shechita, but his intention was not to eat it. It was just the rafua. He wanted the cow's spleen for some weird, health kick he had or something, not to eat it. He wanted to dip his foot in the cow's blood. That was his rafua intention. Ola kalavim, or he didn't plan on eating it. He planned on feeding it to dogs, which he did. Even so, since it's the kosher shechita, he'll be on the hook. Hashochet v'nimtza treifa. Same goes if he shechted it and it turns out to be inedible for humans because it's a treifa on the inside. It's got a hole in its heart, whatever. Hashochet chulin ba'azara. Or if he shechts it and it's chulin and he does it in the azara, in the court of the base of Mikdash, which is asar. It's an isser kares to shecht. Oh, I got mixed up here. It's a kares to eat it. I don't remember offhand if it's a kares to shecht it or just to love. Don't remember offhand, but it's certainly usher, and it's usher to eat. So, since the food is usher to eat, even so, says Tanakam, Mishalom Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, you pay 4 or 5 payments. On the last two cases, Rav Shimon Poter B'Shnei Elu, Rav Shimon exempts the last two cases, the two cases of finding to be a treifa or shechting in the Azara. Since those two cases, you shecht the sheep, but it's inedible for human beings, it's not rendered edible because it was a treifa from the outset. It had a hole in the heart before you shechted it, or was in the azara when you shechted it. So human beings can't eat it. That's not considered to be a good shechita, and then you'll be, he holds, you would be pater from the 4 or 5. That's not the din. Okay?
What happens if there's a question on the way he shechted it?